The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Yeah, so you don't need me to tell you that change is just an inherent part of life. Of course it is, right? This isn't news to anybody. Things change, and usually it's not a problem. It's right just the way kids grow up, seasons happen, the rainy season starts. Today we had some, for me, I was kind of caught out in the rain today. It was fantastic. I wasn't expecting it, kind of a change of the weather. It only becomes a problem when we try to control it, right? We want things to change one particular way and not another way. We want things to change in a way that match our preferences, make us feel happy, make us feel relaxed, make us feel secure, safe. So there's a part of us that recognizes that change is an inherent part of existence, and yet there's a part of us that's kind of wrestling with it, wishing it were otherwise. And not only things do we try to control this change, but also people. Sometimes we try to control people, like we have this idea of what would make them happy, what would make their lives better. And if only they would listen to us, take our advice or something else, then, right, then they would have a better life. They would have safety, have health, have happiness. So in the midst of our doing loving kindness practice for people, sometimes when we do the phrases, we're wishing safety, happiness, and health. Kind of there may be a little secret kind of implicit wish that they would just get on with it and get happy and be healthy and safe. And so, of course, in one way to help us work with this inability to control anything and everything around us, when we've kind of exhausted our usual ways of trying to make that work, we may recognize this, the kind of the wisdom of equanimity. That is, kind of, there's a number of ways we can hold equanimity, but one is to see the big picture, the 30,000 foot view, and to see the kind of like different elements that we can't see. Sometimes we're caught into some particular thing that we don't like, we think should be otherwise. But sometimes if we can loosen up and get a bigger picture, then we can see like, oh, okay, this isn't as critical as we think it is, or maybe this person has to learn something their own way, why I can't just tell them what to do, or they don't listen to me or somebody else. Or equanimity is also a sense of balance, a sense of not being pushed around by things not matching our preferences, a sense of even though things are changing and are out of control, that somehow we're not thrown off balance about that. I saw a sign recently. Now I don't remember where I saw it, but I thought that maybe I should put it as my like email signature. You know how some people have these little things that they have at the bottom of their things. And that little sign was, relax, nothing is under control. And I kind of liked it because that's the truth, right? And so this idea of relax, the kind of this equanimity, how can, you know, to hold the big picture and to stay in balance with the things that are changing and people that aren't changing, things that we would like. Okay, this sounds like a good idea, but how do you get equanimity? How does this arise? So I could say briefly, without giving a big long talk on this, I could say that there's probably three ways in which equanimity arises. It can be a big part of our life and can help us maintain balance and spaciousness and ease and relaxation. The first is equanimity just arises naturally with meditation practice. Doesn't matter exactly which type of meditation practice, mindfulness or loving kindness, which we're going to do today, even some concentration practices. There's some settling of the mind, however that happens. Then equanimity, just a little bit more contentment with what's happening, a little bit less compulsion to try to make things be different, just naturally arises. And if some like intense meditation practice can lead to some really intense, beautiful equanimity, some really feeling of stability and steadiness, even though you can see all kinds of things shifting and changing, both in your life on the macro level and on the micro level. So that's one way, just naturally arises with whatever meditation practice you're doing. The second way for equanimity, to kind of support the arising of equanimity, could be to do some reflection practices. And this might be during meditation or just while driving or walking or doing the dishes. And that is to reflect on the immensity of change and how our lives are really a mosaic of all these different elements that have kind of come together. Some of them we may have influenced, many of them we did not influence. And then just whatever we're experiencing right now, how this particular collection of people happen to be in this room right now, right? We didn't control all of this. It just kind of arises, assembles, and disassembles. This is how all of our life is. It's not chaotic. And it's not completely disorderly, even though sometimes it may feel that way. If we were to investigate, things aren't happening for no reason. Right? We know this, that things happen for a reason. Doesn't mean we understand and know all the reasons. So a reflection practice may be a way in which we can recognize that all of our experience is just a collection of things changing and moving and shifting. And somehow having that awareness can help a certain amount of letting go, of trying to make things be different. And then the third way to cultivate or develop equanimity is to specifically cultivate it, and that's what we'll do today. And that is, so when we're doing loving kindness practice, just how can we do two things? One, stay in balance with doing some loving kindness practice, being not over invested in somebody, being safe, happy, healthy, having ease in their life. Like how can to stay steady when they're not experiencing this? As well as how can we stay steady when some difficult ideas or emotions that might arise when we're doing this practice, or if we want to extend our practice, our loving kindness practice, to people that perhaps are not our favorite people, perhaps people for whom we have difficulties with. Because of course, they deserve loving kindness too. If you think about this kind of like analytically, those people that we find difficult, can you imagine if they only experienced difficulties? They will not become kinder and nicer and more understanding. And right, it's only if they find some ease in their life. I shouldn't say only. If they find some ease in their life, they are more apt to be, but to shift in their some of their behaviors. So we should be wishing some loving kindness for those people that we find difficult so that they can find some ease and happiness, and then they can relax and find some wisdom and maybe shift things. But that aside, equanimity is a way that kind of help us if we start to feel kind of recoiling towards like, oh, I don't want to send loving kindness to these people. Everybody except those or that person or something like that. Because we don't want to confuse equanimity with indifference. Or we don't want to confuse equanimity with disconnection. It's different. Equanimity is being connected and being balanced and rooted and steady and be able to see the big picture. This in the Buddhist world, equanimity is held up as a very high, admirable aspiration. So many of these practices are all about developing equanimity. It's so powerful in our lives to be able to remain balanced. So one way to specifically cultivate equanimity, one way that we'll do it today, is I'm going to add a phrase to the those of you who have been coming here before know the phrases that we use here. We'll use the regular four phrases that we use, and I'll introduce those in a minute. But for equanimity specifically, I'd like to add the phrase, I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. Right? This is kind of right? Just allow people to live their lives while we're living our life. And our life hopefully includes some softening of the heart and some warmth. So for loving kindness practice, we have three elements, at least in the way that I'm teaching it right now. There's different ways we can practice it. And one is to bring the person for whom you're wishing loving kindness to bring this person to mind. This can either be a visualization or otherwise have a felt sense. So usually we start where it's easiest. So we'll start with what we call the benefactor or the easy person. Benefactor is somebody for whom you just naturally feel a lot of love, care, warmth, respect. Use whichever word feels the right word for you. If somebody doesn't come to mind immediately, you're welcome to use whomever or whatever, kind of like softens your heart. Kittens and puppies and babies and other cute things. And then we'll expand that and do loving kindness for ourselves. Because of course we deserve loving kindness too. And often loving kindness for ourselves is sorely needed. It's easy to be self-critical. Sometimes not so easy to show ourselves some love. And then we'll expand it to somebody for whom you have a relationship with. It doesn't have to be a difficult relationship, just somebody for whom maybe the relationship is just a tiny bit complicated. A good friend, a family member. What I mean by complicated, I don't mean difficult. I mean that, you know, maybe over decades, years, lifetimes have known each other, and sometimes they do things that, let's say this, you have sometimes feelings that are other than loving kindness. And then with this one, we'll add this phrase, I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. Because sometimes people that we have relationships with, we feel like we want to make the choices for them. So that will be something a little bit different that we'll do for today's loving kindness practice. So let's begin by taking an alert, upright posture. One that has some relaxation and some ease, but also expresses your intention to be intentional and pay attention. We'll start with three long, slow, deep breaths. We do these exaggerated breaths just as a way to connect with the body. And perhaps with the exhale, there's a certain amount of letting go. I think in loving kindness practice in particular, and of course also with mindfulness practice, it can be really helpful to spend a little time finding some ease and relaxation in the body so that that can support some ease and softness in the heart and mind. So we can begin by just very simply bringing our awareness to those places in the body where we often hold tension. So that can be around the eyes, around the around the jaw. Sometimes it's helpful to move the jaw side to side. You can feel into the neck and the shoulders, allowing them to drop down and the shoulder blades to slide down the back. Just check in with the upper back, the lower back. See if there's just some simple softening, opening. We're not trying to make anything happen. We're not forcing anything. We're just doing a little inquiry. Is there tension here? Does it need to be there? You can feel into the heart center, the chest, and the belly. So often we can be closed down or collapsed or tight in this area. It's okay if there's tension or tightness there. It's perfectly fine. But perhaps there can also be some softening or letting go, some loosening. Can feel the pressure of the cushion or the chair or the ground against your body. Feel grounded, steady. You're here. Check in with the legs and the feet. Again, you can feel grounded with the feet touching the ground. And the arms and the hands. Then we'll do just a little bit of mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. So in a very gentle, kind, simple way, can rest your attention on the sensations of breathing. That is the movements of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or perhaps the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. Whichever feels the most supportive, the most vivid, just choose one area and rest your attention there. Chances are that your mind is still busy and likes to be lost in thought. You don't have to make that a problem. Just very simply, gently, come back to the sensations of breathing. If you find yourself lost in thought, you can just begin again. So with this practice of mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, you can always use this as a practice, as a home base, a refuge. If you're ever confused or overwhelmed or feel too uncomfortable for some reason, you can always just come back to this very simple practice. Just paying attention to the movement of the abdomen or the chest, or maybe the air going in and out of the nose. Perfectly fine. And then to begin loving kindness practice, you can bring to mind somebody for whom it's easy, not complicated, and you just kind of naturally feel a certain amount of warmth and care, respect, softness, love, kindness, goodwill. Bring this person or being to mind. And again, you can check in with the body. There might be a little opening, a little shift in the heart center. Maybe the belly softens. Maybe there's a sensation of warmth. Maybe not. It doesn't have to be a big, grand sensation. It might be quite subtle. And then to support our intention to cultivate loving kindness with the support of the benefactor or lovable being, we'll repeat the phrases silently after me in your mind as a way to keep our minds on track, to come something to come back to, our intentions. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to change the phrases and use words that are meaningful for you, resonate with you. Again, you can check in with the body, and if there's any feeling of warmth, spaciousness, again, it may be unremarkable. Allow that feeling to support you. nurture, nourish. You can allow it to get as big as it would like. Again, we're not forcing anything, we're not making anything happen. And there might not be a feeling in the body. It's perfectly fine, perfectly fine. Again, bringing the benefactor to mind, or the lovable being, the easy being. I'll be silent here for a little bit, and you can send them loving kindness in any way that feels like the right way for you right now. And now we can build on this loving kindness that we've developed and cultivated using the easy being or the benefactor. We can expand our sphere of loving kindness to include ourselves. We can nourish and support ourselves, take care of ourselves, love ourselves, be kind to ourselves. So we do this in the same way. Bring yourself to mind, either as a visually in the mind or as a felt sense. How does it like feel to sit here and now? Again, you can see if there's a feeling in the body associated with loving kindness. If so, you can use that to support your intention to love yourself, have kindness for yourself. And then we'll just modify the phrases just a bit. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Sometimes it can be helpful to your hand on your heart or your chest is a way to connect with yourself. It's a way that some kind of shows some kindness, some love to ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So now let's expand our bubble, our sphere of loving kindness, our radius, or I'm not sure which word to say, to include someone for whom you find yourself sometimes wanting to give them advice about what to do. This can be a good friend, could be a family member. Maybe it's somebody whom you don't know. You can bring this individual to mind. Visualize them. And the visualization doesn't have to be clear. It doesn't have to be with lots of high definition, lots of pixels. Just a sense. Just a sense of the person. Again, you can check in with the body. See if there's any more ease or warmth or softness, opening. Again, allow that to get as big as it would like. We're just allowing. We're just making room. We're not forcing. And then we'll add a fifth phrase for this individual. If it feels too complicated, you can always do your own phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. Maybe I'll say that again. There's a lot of words there. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. Maybe we'll just stay with that phrase. That seems easier. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness. But cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair, the floor, the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Part of equanimity, like the cultivation of equanimity, is this recognition of what we can control and what we can't control. We only have a certain amount of control over ourselves. Only a certain amount. We don't get to stop aging. We don't get to control so many things of our mental experience, our physical experience. And equanimity can be about just recognizing the truth of this. not fighting against it. Somehow to remain balanced when things are shifting and changing, and sometimes in good ways, sometimes in bad ways. We don't get to choose. Nobody's exempt, not a single person is exempt from this kind of the vicissitudes of what happens. So this, we don't get to control others, and somehow kind of cultivating this, not having, feeling like we can control others, can be enormous relief. Like, oh right, I keep on trying to get this other person to do what I'm pretty sure would make their lives better. Certainly would make my life better, right? If only they would do X, Y, or Z. It's part of cultivating equanimity is keeping in mind what is controllable and what isn't. So now I'd love to hear from you. Those of you who've been here before, how was that? To kind of introduce this equanimity practice. And or just in general, the experience of loving kindness, both starting with the benefactor and then ourselves, and then somebody for whom you have a relationship with is how I introduced it. But we may be trying to control people we don't have relationships with, too. Anybody have a question or a comment? Thank you. I think that you have to turn it on, yeah.
I thought it was an excellent addition to the other phrases that you had used in the past, because I think, well, personally, probably wittingly or unwittingly, I'm doing that. So thank you.
Yeah. I think right behind you, too.
I also thought it was an excellent addition, and for those of us that are parents, I thought it was unbelievably meaningful, because we always tend to think that we know what would make our children happy if only they would just do it. And for years it's been a struggle for me, and one of the ways I've dealt with it in the past, but seems less effective than your words, was when I'm doing walking meditations, to repeat the sort of mantra of, it's not my life, it's not my life, it's not my life. And so this totally felt much more, less hostile.
Yeah. Thank you. It's nice to hear.
What came to mind for me was that there's so many illusions in our life, you know, misconceptions, that I might be thinking that their life would be better. But at the end, it's always for myself to make it easier. So that's the illusion part for me. With my adult children, I've come to learn that they have to experience their own life and journey, and they may not be as far as I am with the practice, and just allow them, like you suggested, just to be where they are. And then things got better if I just allowed, you know, too many illusions that I think that, you know, control, which we don't have. What I think we do control is our thoughts and what we do with those thoughts.
Do we control our thoughts?
Well, when you have a thought, you can choose to say yes, that is true or not true, or to change it, to become mindful and interject something that is more meaningful. So when a thought arises, then you notice it and become aware of it, and then you can choose a loving kindness thought instead of whatever is popping up. Yeah. I don't know. It's complicated.
It's actually, there's what arises, which we don't control. We don't control usually our thoughts that arise, right? But what we do control, and what you're pointing to, is our relationship to it. Oh, we're pushing it away. I don't like it. I want it. Now I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that, or something like this. Right? But thoughts just arise. It's fascinating, right? If you're in meditation, like, beep, like, wow, where did that come from? Right? Or if you're totally lost in thought, and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be meditating. Like, how did that happen? Right? We don't make these things happen. Nobody really knows. But just as you said, it's what we do with these seemingly uncontrollable events when they arise. What's our relationship to them? And this is definitely where we have some agency here. I'll say that.
Is it on? I agree with the beauty of what you added, what everyone's been saying. It was a nicer feeling. I'm similar in thought to you, just saying you have to deal with it. And it was just a nicer way to do that. I wonder if you could comment on where not necessarily, and whether this is part of equanimity or not, when we're not trying to control, but we are asked upon to fix it. And be the fixer, and it feels like, well, I wish you well, but not my job. It's very hard, especially in very close friendships or familial relationships, whether someone, you know, whether your mom or your kid or your husband or your significant other or your friend, where there's... would you put that in the camp of equanimity? It's kind of a hard place to navigate when you're not even trying to be the controller.
Yeah. I think it'd be fantastic if we could navigate all these relationships and these requests from a place of equanimity. So I think cultivating equanimity in whatever area of our lives definitely will bleed out there, and maybe could help us to see, okay, yeah, what are the boundaries here? Because sometimes it's about boundaries, which is difficult and hard and uncomfortable to work with so often. And often we don't even know about what boundaries are until we've crossed over them, and we just feel the discomfort, like, oh, ouch, that was something that I shouldn't have done, or they shouldn't have done, or something like this. So your question, is this equanimity even when they ask us to help? Yeah, can we make that answer? Can we make that determination if we have a sense of balance and we have a sense of being able to see the big picture? I'll tell you something that I kind of use as a way to help support my own kind of like exploration in these types of areas, is I just kind of like feel in and notice like the little thoughts in my mind. Am I doing this because I want to have a particular outcome? I'm doing this because this thing better happen? Or am I doing it because it's the right thing to do? Whatever happens, I know that this showing up in this way, open-hearted, generous, is the right thing to do. That's always the right thing to do. But sometimes we're doing things to make something happen, and that's not always the best thing to do. We're maybe sometimes to do something because we have love and generosity in our hearts as best we can. And sometimes when I'm saying we're trying to make something happen, what's tricky is this make something happen might be make myself feel better, make myself feel fulfill an obligation I feel like I have, or a responsibility that I feel like I have, and everybody's going to think poor of me if I don't fulfill this responsibility, right? So it turns into something that me, as opposed to, okay, what's open and generous and spacious? equanimity, loving kindness, generosity, spaciousness. As best we can, this is always the answer. As best we can, right? It's not always accessible. We have time for one more question if somebody has something they'd like to say. Maybe I have a question. So I started with this idea, like, oh, we'll add this fifth phrase, but then it just felt too complicated to have that fifth phrase, and I just stayed with that one. You guys are nodding your head. Did that seem like okay? Because, like, at this stage, you know, we had already done the phrases so many times, we kind of, yeah. That was kind of when I felt into it, I felt like. Yeah, thank you.
Were you debating about adding it with the first series of phrases?
No, because I wanted that to be a little bit more, often the people that we have are benefactors or kittens or babies or something, that we aren't as tangled up with, you know, trying to, it's either in the case of babies, it's clear that we are going to make these types of decisions, and sometimes benefactors or like spiritual leaders or people that we don't have complicated relationships with. But maybe, do you think it would be useful or helpful to do it?
As the person that I selected was definitely in a different category than the other selection. So I could see why you did that. Compartmentalized it a little bit more.
Yeah. I wanted to start where it was just easy, like we were just... But I did notice that for myself, when I was kind of saying these phrases, there was a little bit of letting go that was happening with, okay, you can make your choices for you. And it was really nice. This nice feeling. So maybe we'll play with this, explore with this as we kind of go. Okay, so it's 7 o'clock. So I wish you all some happiness and health and safety and ease and all kinds of good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.